The children aren't back there, so. Good morning, everyone. Hi.
Good morning.
Happy 4th of July.
Same.
Today is our 225th birthday for this country, so we celebrate with red, white, and blue, our pride in showing thankful to God for his many blessings to us that we can worship openly and freely here today. We want to begin with a word of announcements, and so what is something that you need to share with the congregation? You'll see some announcements there on the back of your bulletin. We will be having a worship in the park the last Sunday of July. And we are planning on having a council meeting as regularly scheduled for the end of August. And school supplies, if you can gather some of those, I believe we have this month to bring those to church for the collection that will be shared in our schools. Maxine?
We went ahead and we drove the town park, former town park, for our church picnic the last Thursday of August.
Last Thursday of August, okay.
We don't have any details yet, you know, as to whether we're going to do chicken or just what, but we'll have more information coming.
Okay.
Repeat that so we can hear it back here.
Last Thursday of August, we'll have the picnic at the park, community park.
Thurmont, yeah.
The Thurmont Community Park. Okay. Any other announcements?
You did announce about the council meeting.
Yes. Anything else, Bob?
Birthday Sunday.
That's right, birthdays. Who has a birthday this month? Jerry and I yesterday.
Jerry celebrated today. Him and I did yesterday.
All right. Well, congratulations, everyone. I'm not sure if there'll be treats back there or not, so if there are, pick one up on your way out today. Let's begin our worship with this prelude. Chair. Call to worship comes from Psalms 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God in his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth. Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Let us stand together and share in our hymn, and then we'll have our prayer. And our hymn is number 328.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Let us pray. Father God, we do thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to come into your house this day. And we thank you, Lord, for your word and for your spirit. And we pray that you would move in a mighty way in our worship. Help us, Lord, to praise you and to seek your face. And so, God, we pray your presence here this day. Teach us to pray as Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tracy, reminder, newsletters are in your mailboxes back there.
Okay. All right. Well, we just wanted to remind you that, and we'll have a time of sharing joys and concerns. So we want to thank Lisa for putting together the newsletter each month for us. It is a little bit of a labor of love, and we appreciate that so much. So please avail yourself to those. Yes.
I want to keep Alan on our prayer list. They found a growth on his liver and his pancreas, and they're going to do a biopsy on that. And Debbie and Ricky, we need him and Jenny. Jenny's been in the hospital for 4 days, I think it is now, and she needed blood, and she's still there.
Okay. Jen's in the hospital. Okay.
And my neighbor, David Glass, he had fallen and broke his kneecap that he had replaced and crushed it and a bone in his leg, and he's up in New York Hospital.
Okay.
And Sandy and him needs their prayers.
Sandy is his wife. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Prayers for the Glasses.
Did you say about Alan? I didn't get you.
He has, they found a growth on his liver and his pancreas, and they got to go in and do a biopsy. I don't know when that's going to be yet.
Okay.
We'll have some other friends, Marilyn and Kenny Olin. We'd like to lift them up this day, and also Judy Kelly, who had to go in, I think, for a stent this week in the hospital, and hopefully she's back home.
She's home
right now. Recuperating. So, and keep our country, definitely our country, and the leaders of our country in the prayers. And there's so many disasters: the heat, the floods, the hurricanes. So many people that are devastated by destruction that we need to lift up. Father, we just thank you so much.
Lots of need for disaster relief.
Just on the newspaper the other day, Donna Sennett, passed away.
Okay.
Didn't give any details.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in the paper.
Prayers for Donna.
We were surprised with a visitation from our son from Texas. They dropped in on us yesterday, and we had no idea they were even coming. And then, of course, they have made plans with the rest of the family to come to our house. The rest of the family came to the house, and we had like a outdoor picnic on our deck.
Wonderful.
Yesterday.
That's great.
Evening, afternoon, and evening. So
wonderful.
They would have been with us this morning, but they're up with our oldest son. His family today, so he'll be back tomorrow, and I think they're going to leave to go back on Wednesday, so we just want to keep them in our prayers, traveling, mercies, and so forth.
Right. Any others? Danny?
Keep my mom and our military.
Okay.
I want to keep my friend Velma. Again, she had surgery on Friday, but she's going to have to go back and have another surgery, and unspoken request.
Okay. We were also blessed with the family visiting yesterday. My son and his wife came down from Pennsylvania and brought me lunch. And so we had a chance to spend a few minutes with them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, on this July 4th, we just are grateful for the freedoms that we have. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this country and being citizens of it, but also, more importantly, the spiritual freedoms that you give us in Christ. And so, Lord, we just are mindful of your many gifts to us, and this past week with family and friends, and health and just all the various blessings, Lord. We're just mindful that we just couldn't live without you, without your work in our lives. And so, God, we just pray you would move in a mighty way in the needs that have been shared here today. Touch each life. Their names have been shared. Lord, you know those that are struggling. And so we pray for health and wholeness and meet the needs of those that are have had surgery or in the hospital. Lord, we pray you would touch each life. Thank you for the doctors and the nurses that are caring for them. And we pray for speedy recovery. We pray for health and wholeness. We know only you can knit things together and bring about restoration. And so, God, would you move in a tremendous way, Lord, that we might give you the honor and the glory and the praise. For those names that are unspoken, Lord, we pray you would lift them up to you. We pray that you would bless the families and friends of those who have passed on. And so we think of Donna and thank you for her friendship and those that have cared for her in the last years of her life. We are grateful, Father, for the traveling mercies. We take for granted each day. We go out into the road to work or whatever. The tremendous blessings that you give us by your hand of protection. So we just pray for angels to guard each of us as we go our ways, and especially when we're traveling long distances to see family and friends, we pray a special blessing on them. Lord, we can't help but lift up our leaders today, this being July 4th, Lord, and we just ask, Lord, that you would help us to fulfill 1 Timothy 2, to make prayers and supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we might lead lives that are quiet and peaceful in all godliness and holiness and honesty. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help all of our leaders, from presidents and his cabinet to all that serve in various capacities, in various organizations and in our denomination and our church, Lord, help them to have an open heart to hear and to respond to the gospel. We pray, Lord, that you would help them to accept wise counsel. Teach them, Lord, to trust in you and to protect them from the influence of the evil one. Give them, Lord, discretion and foresight and understanding in making decisions, and deliver them from the opinions that are contrary to your word. I pray you would guard them, Lord, from harm, and that you would bless them and protect them and their families, and enable them, Lord, to carry out their duties with humility and courage. Help them to do the right thing, Lord, when they're urged to do the wrong thing. And I pray you'd give them a great heart of compassion toward those that they lead and those that they serve. And so, Lord, we pray for a change in the direction of our country. We pray for revival and renewal. And we ask, Lord, that you might meet the needs of those that are experiencing great tragedy and disaster. And so, thank you for the disaster relief work through our denomination, and for the volunteers that have gone to work and to help to fix up homes and mud out basements and repair roofs. Lord, we pray that you would help people to have a decent place to live. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to move in our world. And we know there are some very troublesome things that are going on in countries like Myanmar and in China and Ethiopia. Lord, we pray for your hand of protection to be upon believers, that you would meet the needs of pastors and missionaries there, help them to reach out in the name of Christ. And so we ask that your word would go forth in power throughout the whole world, because we know that we'll come back void. God, have your way this day. We pray you would move, that you would bless, and that you would help us to praise your name. And we ask these things as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand with me and we'll share together in hymn number 450. Thank you. You may be seated. Scripture I've chosen for today is a familiar one, 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not loved, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we do thank you, Lord, for this day again. We are reminded of the special holiday, and many people are away vacationing, being with family and friends. And we're reminded of your word and your great love for us. And so, Lord, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds now would be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Well, I usually don't preach on this holiday. Most of the time in the past years, I have taken this weekend off to help celebrate my birthday. But it's interesting that July 4th occurs only on a Sunday every 5 to 6 years, and sometimes with an 11-year cycle in between. The last time that July 4th fell on a Sunday was 2010, 11 years ago. And the next time that it will occur is 2027, 6 years from now. We praise the Lord for our freedom and for the ability to worship God openly. This is being challenged in many areas, in Africa, in Ethiopia, in China, in Myanmar. Believers are having a very difficult time gathering to worship and to praise God. And so we appreciate the freedoms that we have and the ability to share our love for one another, to express our love for God, to express our love for family and friends and for our church, and especially today to express our love for our country. In fact, the greatest of all the character qualities is L-O-V-E, love. Now, you might be thinking, Pastor, this is July 4th, not Valentine's Day. Or you might be thinking, well, we usually hear about love in February, or we usually hear 1 Corinthians 13 read at a wedding. Why are you preaching on love today? And you would be not remiss to ask such a question. But you know, genuine love, I think, is probably one of the most important things that we need today. In our lives, in our families, in our church, especially in our country and in our world, we need more true love. And the enemy is really causing a lot of division, distrust, and disharmony. And it is tearing at the very fabric of our denomination and also at our society. And yet, we have to remember that love needs to be balanced with truth. And so we should always love, but we also need to share the truth in love. Love needs to be balanced with truth. So as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us, we share the truth that we find in his word, in the Bible, and we call people to love like Jesus did, to love others as Christ did, and to love the sinner and not the sin. Today we celebrate our country's birthday, 225 years. We have to recognize that the many great civilizations have only lasted this long and fell from within. And so the dangers to our country are great. And so we want to express our love for this nation because of the great freedoms that we have in it. God has given us a great capacity to love not only our family and our friends, but to love others, to love them and encourage them into the kingdom of God. Love, then, is the greatest of the character qualities. And there were at least 49 different character qualities expressed in the Lord Jesus Christ's life. And that leads me to ask them two questions. What is good character, and what is genuine love? Well, character is the inward motivation to do what is right according to the highest standards of behavior in every situation. Character consists of the stable and distinctive qualities built into an individual's life which determines his or her responses, regardless of the circumstances. And character is the wise response to the pressure of a difficult situation and what we do when we think that no one is watching. It is a predictor of good behavior. Character reveals the Lord Jesus Christ himself, since he is the full personification of all good character qualities. Understanding character, then, explains why things happen to us, because we know that all things work together for the good to conform us to the character of God. Knowing precise character qualities gives us the basis for praising God and to sharing with others. We also might ask, what is love? How would you describe love? What words would you use to talk about love? Well, there was a group of professional people who asked a group of children what love means. And you know, the scriptures say, out of the mouth of babes. And so here's what a couple of kids said. What does love mean? Rebecca, age 8, said, "When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love." Billy, age 4, said, "When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know your name is safe in their mouth." Danny, age 7, he said, "Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay." Bobby, age 7, also said, "Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen." I like that one. Marianne, age 4, said, "Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day." And Clara, age 6, said, "My mommy loves me more than anybody. You don't see anyone else kissing me to sleep at night." And finally, this story is from a boy who was 4 years old. He had a neighbor next door, an old man, an elderly gentleman, who lost his wife recently. And he was sitting on the front porch, and the little boy noticed him crying. So the little boy went into the man's yard, and he went up to the porch and climbed up into the man's lap, and he just sat there. Later, his mother asked him what he had said to the neighbor, and the little boy said, "Nothing. I just helped him cry." Wouldn't you say that's a goal for our lives, to experience and to share with others the love that God has demonstrated by sending his Son into our world for our redemption? You know, when we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see a life well lived, a perfect life displaying positive character qualities. And he had compassion on the crowds as a sheep, they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, one of the greatest character qualities of Jesus was that he loved people. He just loved to be around people. Genuine love, then, is the most important character quality of all. In actuality, every other character quality is an expression of love. Every other quality must be motivated by it, or that quality is empty and it's no benefit. And it takes the power of God to develop and to live out such genuine love in our lives. Therefore, it's important for us to really fully understand this very basic and important character quality, what we call love. Agape love is greater than faith and hope, according to verse 13. It is the greatest commandment God has given to us. Agape love is expected of a local church, and it is the badge of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. It is one of the primary requests that Jesus gave in his final prayer with his disciples. And so love is really just basic. You know, when a baby comes into the world, it is just so natural for us to love it. We as parents, we pour all of our love into that life, and we learn to be selfless. Especially when you have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning again and change a diaper and feed it. Love is the opposite of selfishness. Think the ones that you know that you that love you. And how often have they told you so? How often have they given to you? How often have they showed their love for you? as I think about a night that I really felt loved, was a night when Edith Ford, who was a member of the Frederick Church of the Brethren, and I had come as a BVSer, and she asked a small group of friends, and included me, to go to Washington, D.C., to see the play The King and I. And following the play, to take us to a very fancy Chinese restaurant afterwards. I was overwhelmed, helping her to celebrate her paying off her mortgage. And she must have spent hundreds of dollars that night because we had a five-course meal. And it was just a wonderful evening. I had never been to such a high level of play and drama, as well as a meal and fellowship afterwards. I just felt so blessed by her gift to us, and she did it out of love. Others have made me feel loved at times, have given to me, made verbal expressions of love. Love was extended to me and as a young child and as a teenager in my home congregation and when I became a Christian there. Love was extended to me by my wife, Pat, when she agreed to be my wife and then later said, I do. And God has shown his love for us, not only in the Lord Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross, but in the love letter that he's written for us. Now, this is a love letter, and the Holy Spirit there demonstrates for us the love that he has shown to us through the Lord Jesus Christ dying for us while we were yet still sinners. And this is the greatest kind of love that we can express, a love that is sacrificial of one's life for another, as John 15:13 tells us. This is the agape kind of love. And I think this is the kind of love we need to see more in our world today. Because love is so important, and there are lots of distorted ideas about love, God wants to clearly define what love is. And so through the Apostle Paul, here to the letter to the Corinthians, he shares with us what real agape love is. And he shares with us 11 different aspects of that love. So let me just very quickly share those with you. The first is love suffereth long. And this means that it does not lose heart. It perseveres with patience and bravely endures misfortunes and troubles. It bears offenses and injuries with joy and confidence that a good reward will come from God's hand. These are the character qualities of endurance, patience, forgiveness, joyfulness, faith, loyalty, and flexibility. Secondly, love is kind. It looks for ways to be useful in acts of benevolence. It is easy to be entreated and has the motivation of giving rather than taking. These are the character qualities of tolerance, generosity, availability, creativity, compassion, sensitivity, initiative, gentleness, and alertness. Third, love envieth not. It does not boil with desire to have that which belongs to another. It is not possessive of what has been entrusted to it. It is content with basic necessities and rich fellowship with the Lord. And these are the qualities of gratefulness, contentment, resourcefulness, thriftiness, and security. Fourth, love vaunteth not itself. It does not boast of its abilities or its accomplishments. It does not look for ways to promote itself or extol its virtues with rhetorical embellishments. These are the qualities of sincerity and meekness and deference. Fifth, love is not puffed up. It does not cherish exaggerated ideas of its own, its importance. It does not look down on others with contempt or disdain. It is not proud, and these are the qualities of virtue and humility. Sixth, love does not behave itself unseemly. It does not flaunt itself to attract attention or to stir up sensual desires in others. It does not act indecently or shamefully. It has good manners. It is the qualities of self-control and discretion and responsibility. Love seeks not her own. It does not demand its own way, does not crave things for its own pleasure or profit. It focuses not on itself but on the needs of others, and it's willing to lay down its life for the benefit of others. And these are the qualities of hospitality and dependability. Number 8 is love is not easily provoked, does not get irritated or exasperated. It conquers anger and wrath. It is not quickly excited to rivalry, but rather to helping others succeed. And these are the qualities of honor, cautiousness, punctuality, and orderliness. 9, love thinketh no evil. It guards its heart and mind and brings every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. It distinguishes between good and evil and rejects the evil. Does not retain wrong desires or plans, does not harbor hurtful feelings toward others. These are the character qualities of obedience, thoroughness, and discernment. Number 10 is love rejoices not in iniquity. It grieves when evil people are promoted and unjust laws are made. It does not secretly desire to carry out the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the prideful goals of life. And these are the character qualities of justice, decisiveness, and determination. And finally, number 11, love rejoices in the truth. It delights in God's law, meditates on it day and night, dwells upon the thoughts that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. It is eager to share the truth with others and rejoices with all people when truth prevails. And these are the character qualities of truthfulness, boldness, persuasiveness, diligence, enthusiasm, attentiveness, and wisdom. This is the kind of love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It can outlast anything because love never faileth. A woman that was writing in a devotional, Marcia from Texas, she writes these words about enduring love. She said, patiently, John pours the high-calorie liquid food into the bag that hangs by his wife's bed. She's being nourished through a feeding tube. Since she became ill with Alzheimer's disease, John has cared for her every need. They are inseparable after 40 years of marriage. As a volunteer in our church's ministry to the homebound, I visit John and his wife each week. Watching them, I have learned a valuable lesson about love in action. Paul describes love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This includes the younger years when health is more stable, but it also includes what I witness in John's actions. As he pushes a wheelchair, changes an adult diaper, and tries to discern the indistinct words of his wife as she tries to speak. And I see God embracing John, giving him renewed strength. Love is more than an emotion, a warm feeling, or a momentary kiss. It is hope that replaces discouragement and faith that faces the future one day at a time. God, help us to love unconditionally as you have loved us. God embraces and gives us strength to show that kind of love to others. How genuine is your love? Now, how is love, this kind of love, developed? Well, the power of genuine love is a reward for being in fellowship with God's Spirit and successfully passing the tests that God has given to us and is designed for our spiritual growth. When we become a person, when we become a believer in Christ by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in our spirit, and we're called child of God. And so then each of us can ask the Heavenly Father to fill us with the Holy Spirit, to fill our souls, our mind, wills, and emotions with His Spirit. When the Holy Spirit takes believers through then a time of testing, if we respond with rejoicing and gratefulness, a powerful spirit of love will come upon us. And this sequence is seen in the New Testament, and especially with the life and the ministry of Jesus. After being filled with the Spirit, Scripture tells us as Jesus was led into the wilderness and he experienced a time of testing, 40 days, and then he returned. But notice it says that he returned not in the fullness of the Spirit, but in the power of the Spirit. And so in the same way that Thessalonian believers received the Holy Spirit at their conviction and conversion, and they says this in verses 1 chapter 1 and 5 through 6, it says, much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And so the result of their faith was that it grew exceedingly, and their love for each other abounded. We can see this in 2 Thessalonians verses 3 through 4. This is the pattern that is described throughout Scripture, and particularly Paul tells us in Romans 5, he says, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And so spiritual gifts or acts of giving away our money or even martyrdom are really useless if we don't have love. If we don't have genuine love, what does it profit us? Love, then, is the greatest character quality of all. And we're told in Scripture that God is love. Love is preeminent. It has primacy over the other spiritual gifts. We could say that love is the greatest, then, of the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 13 is a practical description of the life and the ministry and the character of Jesus. Genuine love, brothers and sisters, I think is needed more today than ever before. To accept people as they are, to accept the races as they are, to understand how things are, we accept and we love, not necessarily love the sin, but we always love the sinner. In all of us, we're once sinners. I know I need more of this kind of love in my life, and I hope that you also will express that kind of love to others. And so, how genuine is your love? If you might ask yourself these questions. Do I tend to get discouraged and want to give up when everything seems to go wrong? Do I look for ways to be useful and to help out wherever I go? Do you tend to envy the possessions or the opportunities of other people? Do you enjoy telling about your achievements more than listening to the accomplishments of others? Do you tend to look down on those who do not live by your standards? Do you choose clothing with a motive to draw attention to yourself? Do you know and practice good manners wherever you are? Do you tend to want your own way and argue when you don't get it? Do you get irritated or exasperated with the character deficiencies of others? Do you harbor grudges against those who have hurt you? Do you dwell on the secret desires that fulfill the lust of the flesh? And do you meditate on God's word day and night that you might delight to do his will? A.W. Tozer, a great theologian a century back, was once quoted as saying, one of the world's worst tragedies is that we allow our hearts to shrink until there's no room in them for little than but ourselves. Let our hearts shrink until there's room in them for little besides ourselves. And so on this 4th of July, as we celebrate our freedoms, let's ask God to give us true, genuine love, to love our country, to love our family, to love others as Christ would. Let's ask God to fill us up with his Spirit, to pass the test that he sends our way, to continue to grow us up, to become the mature Christians that he desires us to be, and to be rewarded then with genuine love. I pray that God would help us to continue to share the truth, and to share that truth in love. Sometimes it means telling the truth, but to tell them in love. May God give us genuine love, the greatest character quality of all. Happy 4th of July. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as the hymn writer wrote, thy love divine hath led us in the past, in this free land by thee our lot is cast. Be thou our ruler, guardian, guide, and stay, thy word our law, thy paths our chosen way. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your agape kind of love. Thank you that it's given freely to all who receive. We want to respond to your love, Lord, to respond with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit would fill up our souls. You would help us to go through times of testing, to reach spiritual growth and maturity, to do so with joy and gratefulness. Let our love be genuine, Lord, to give away without any expectation of personal gain. We pray that this church, Lord, would be known for its love. It used to be said that the brethren had a great love for one another. People would come and watch love feasts because it was such a rare occasion to see people express love in such a unique way. And so we pray, Lord, this church would be known as a church of love, love not only of each other, but love beyond the fellowship. May we fully understand your kind of love and display it to all as disciples of Christ. And so, God, on this 4th of July, would you bless us, not only with freedom, but with genuine love. And we pray this in your name. Amen. We'll close our service today by standing and singing number 188. Number 188 is Glory to His Name. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then all of God's people said, Amen. Praise.